from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Day and night, as the sun sets over New York City, we step into the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, talking sports, 888-808-1019. Now we're going to lean into the Yankee conversation. Jazz Chisholm is out for the next 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. Just don't even think about it. It was cool while it lasted, but we've gone through this as Yankee fans, no? Andrew Benintendi, you trade for him, hit by pitch, he's out. I know Matt Carpenter wasn't a trade, but you get him, he's Barry Bonds for a couple months. He fouls one off his foot, he's out. He comes back in the postseason, you think he's going to be, he's nothing. Oh, Edwin Encarnacion, same type of fate. I remember being at Bonnaroo in 2019, and I get the alert that the Yankees traded for Edwin Encarnacion out of nowhere. I'm like, I didn't even know we were looking for a bat. Too good to be true. Hit by pitch, October comes, he can't find a pitch to hit. Frankie Montas, Lou Trevino. Yeah, you trade for those guys in 2022. Can't help you. Scott Efros, can't help you. This is part of what we deal with as Yankee fans. It could be worse. But what I'm saying is, now that opens an opportunity for a guy that I had on The Fan last week, a guy that I think the world of. He's always smiling. He's a nice guy. He's always helping people. He's always doing appearances, helping kids. When I had him on, he was promoting his camp that's going on in New Rochelle. Oswaldo Cabrera, he showed up last night. And when I had him on The Fan last week, if you were listening, I interviewed him around this time a week ago. And I said, man, I am rooting for you to get opportunities. You're part of the Stay Ready group. Stay ready so you don't got to get ready. And I kind of leaned into the fact, like, I got to stay ready too. If the game gets postponed, I'm on. And that's what happened that night. And I was able to get him on. And, you know, I also said to him, you're clutch. You play with a spark and you provide a flair. When the game gets quiet, when the game gets stagnant, here you are with your athleticism, your energy, and I hope that he gets more of an opportunity. I mean, last night, like, you guys were watching Dominic Fletcher in right field. That guy's amazing. That guy covers that outfield. He can cover right field and center field. The plays he was making, the balls that he was getting to in foul territory, and that catch that he made that Oswaldo scored from second on, To wake the team up, to get the team going, right? It can't just be Juan Soto, especially against the bum-ass White Sox, right? We were struggling. Monday, that game had us all sick. I was disgusted. The best part of the day is finishing the day and getting to sit on the couch, have dinner, have a beer, kick your feet up, and watch the Yankees play. But not when they went out there and did what they did that first game. The second game, Juan Soto, which I don't know if you guys were listening to me after the last homestand. I'm like, bet on him to homer in the south side of Chicago because he hadn't done it before. Not only did like he homer, he had a 3-homer game. He had 4 homers and 4 at-bats. I was listening to C-Mac talk last night. People were getting at him. He had a walk in between. The walk doesn't count as an AB. That's a plate appearance. Juan Soto is incredible, the generational Juan Soto. And what I leaned into with Juan Soto was this. You can't control winning the World Series. No one can. It's a quote-unquote crapshoot. You know what you can control, though? A guy that is in your building, in your clubhouse, traveling with your team, having his best season ever as a New York Yankee, you can control his contract. You can control what you offer him. You can control his future, for sure. Just don't be outbid. Just stay at the table. And you know what? If you keep him in the lineup with Aaron Judge, you're going to have a pretty good chance at getting into that crapshoot of a postseason and winning the World Series in the next 7 years. 888-808-1019. Aaron Judge is the best player I've ever seen. And I'm not debating it with anybody. I don't care. Like I said, I didn't see the Mariners. I was too young. I started watching baseball in like 96, 97, but I didn't really lock in. As a kid, you can't. And shout out to these kids listening now. They're so smart. You guys have apps and YouTube. You can look at bat. You can watch the game. It's interactive. You can see all these stats and all this information. You can read articles. You can listen to The Fan. You can listen to a podcast. You can know every single thing about every player going on in the game right now. We didn't have that as a kid. You watch the game, maybe you read the newspaper. None of us were really doing that. Maybe you got Sports Illustrated. Maybe you went online, America Online, and saw something. It was not the same. So, no, Barry Bonds, I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. But for me to get on the air and say that I think Barry Bonds, who is a known steroid head, right, is better than Aaron Judge? Sure, he's the best baseball player of all time. He's not getting in the Hall of Fame. Aaron Judge's first ballot. And through my quest, through what I've done from being in the MLB fan cave in 2014 and spending a whole season there watching 2,430 regular season baseball games and not being able to go to one, well, we went to the All-Star game in Minnesota. So I guess that counts. But I didn't get to see one Yankee game that season, and it made me a fiend. It honestly made me a fiend for Yankee Stadium. It made me realize and not take for granted the ballpark, not take for granted the summer. And so every year I started going more and more. And every year I stopped asking people to go. I stopped trying to make plans. I stopped texting groups and getting tickets for people. And I realized the convenience of going to Yankee Stadium by yourself. And going by myself, I made friends. Became a bleacher creature. And in that time, from 2015-16, when Judge burst on the scene, 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, obviously we had the COVID year, whatever, but like I have seen so many Aaron Judge homers. I feel blessed. This is one of the best all time. You can debate Jeter, Mantle, Gehrig, Ruth, DiMaggio, whatever. I'm talking about what I've seen with my own two eyes as a Yankee fan in New York City. What Judge is doing is crazy. Imagine if he started the season off hot. 888-808-1019. Don't tell me anything about Bobby Witt Jr. and the Kansas City Royals. It is not the same. And don't tell me anything about Steve Cohen and his money and what he's able to offer a Juan Soto. It is not the same as playing with Aaron Judge for the next 7 years, being a New York Yankee, and being in it. Almost a lock that you're going to be in it in October every single year. And that's where we're headed. 888-808, you know the number to dial. Alex in Lakewood, my guy, what's up? You're back on The Fan.
Hi, Keith, what's up?
You know, I'm actually in here watching the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New England Patriots preseason game. My guy Kenny Pickett from Ocean Township, New Jersey, in at quarterback for the Dirty Birds.
Number one about the Yankees is that, what's cool, and number one of Soto's contract is that people don't realize if he's a 40-homer guy this year, not a lot of 40-homer guys that bat 300 and walk 125 times a year are getting on the market, and that's not even his full potential since he's not in his prime yet.
He's 25 years old. He's having his best season. What I'll say about it, Alex, is not everybody in baseball will even be able to bid for him. The Yankees, of course, will. The Yankees, of course, will. So,
yeah. And also, about the Orioles thingy, signing him, I don't think it's going to happen because I think their GM's smart and most of their whole core is getting off.
The Orioles better worry about keeping Anthony Santander.
And their whole core is going off the like the year they drafted Rutschman, Henderson, and what's the guy's name? Outfielder Stowers, and I think Grayson Rodriguez was also in that year. They're all up in three in two off seasons, so you can't spend $1 billion and $1 billion and $1 billion.
Right. Their roadmap to keep their own homegrown talent will block them from offering Juan Soto $550 million.
And I had a question: why can't the Yankees turn one of their outfield prospects into infielder? The
like,
Padres could turn.
Like who?
Like either Jason Dominguez, because there's no room for.
I thought you were going to say Caleb Durbin.
Or Everson Pereira.
Everson Pereira, maybe. He's hurt this year. He's done. We've seen Oswaldo.
There's no root. If Stanton's going to DH for the next 2 years, what are you going to do? You're going to have four outfielders?
I think, one, with Stanton. Brian Cashman was correct again when he said that getting hurt is part of his game. He's going to miss time. And then, you know, that's always an opening at DH. Also, they've been DHing Judge as much as they possibly can. They play the lefty-righty matchup, so Stanton is not always in there. It is what it is with his contract. It is what it is with some nights he looks like he's on, he's hitting rockets. Other nights he can't find it, but I don't think that he's stopping anything. When you talk about Jason Dominguez, what occurred to me last night, and we were talking about this late, people were talking about service time. They already got the extra year for him. Somebody else was talking about, you know, the Yankees get another draft pick if he doesn't come up as a rookie this year or something like that. I'm like, it's not that. What I think right now is why we're not seeing Jason Dominguez in the outfield over, let's say, an Alex Verdugo or a Trent Grisham is because they need him to get back and continue to swing. He hit a homer last night. Good to see it. But they need him to get back and get his reps and stay healthy. And then they also don't want to show their hand.
So the reason why I thought that is I saw a stat that the Padres have, like, all their outfielders are shortstops besides for one. Three other infielders are shortstops. Their whole team shortstops.
Yeah, but that's also like an error in their own ways. They had Ha-Seon Kim. They bring in Xander Bogaerts, and they had Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado. Like, they had a bunch of guys that could play in the infield or whatever. But I don't think that the Yankees need to do that. The Yankees infield, Volpe's your shortstop. Whether you hate it, whether you love it, he's going to continue to develop, hopefully get better sooner rather than later. He's the shortstop. At third base, the future is Jazz for these next couple years, but right now it's Oswaldo and maybe Oswald Peraza, who I haven't brought up yet. Gleyber Torres is gone after this year. At second base, it's going to be between Peraza, maybe Yorbit Vivas. Caleb Durbin is a guy who I was speaking of last night. They had him in left field with the Rail Riders. He's a guy that has versatility, can play the infield and the outfield. The Yankees have a ton of options, and as we're talking about these young guys, I haven't mentioned Austin Wells yet. Will Warren, who pitched last night. If you can't see the writing on the wall for the Yankees to have young, affordable players in their lineup, homegrown talent in their lineup, that's cost-effective for them to offer Juan Soto the most money, then I don't know what you're looking at. It's right there in front of you, you know?
And Jeff's point, my brother doesn't really follow football. He told me he saw a little bit, he shows me a picture of Braylon Allen. He's like, is this the new offensive lineman they got?
Oh my, bro. Like, I am obsessed with Agent Zero. Really, I'm obsessed with Braylon Allen because I'm a stupid Dallas Cowboys fan. Really, I'm about to switch up. I'm about to just be an NFL fan, a blanket NFL fan. But they traded away a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance that they could have drafted this kid. They need a running back. They're actually going to have Ezekiel Elliott taking carries this year away from a young guy like a Braylon Allen. And when you see him in that first preseason game against the Commanders, like, that's what we're going to talk Jets later with Zach Rosenblatt. What a pick for the Jets to give Bree some help, to give the offense some help. He's a grown man, and he's only 20 years old, but he looks like a defensive end at running back.
He could always be a third and one, third and two. He could always pick up 2 yards because he's so big. So
he's like a Derrick Henry type. Like, he's huge. And like, think about it. At 20 years old, he's not really a fully grown man yet. He's going to learn and develop. Even shout out to Isaiah Davis, too. Like, think about the upgrade from Michael Carter. You know what I'm saying? And like, no disrespect to Izzy Abanaconda, but like, yo, the Jets have running backs. Now they have Aaron Rodgers. Now they have an offensive line. Alan Lazard is having a good camp. This is what I'm talking about when I was saying earlier. What happened last year with losing Aaron Rodgers 4 plays in? There's a silver lining. Like, everything happens for a reason. Universe never unconnects. They're better suited for success this year than they were last year.
Could I ask you a question about Hassan Reddick? Let's say they restructure someone's deal. They sign Hassan Reddick. Then they could potentially trade him and restructure back the other guy's deal.
I just don't think that they're going to do all that, Alex. And, you know, and this is what I said. If it was me, I'm not bringing him in the building. It never happened. You know, he's never been in the building with the Jets. So I would trade him for whatever. But they're not going to do that because they own his rights. They're not going to do it because they have the upper hand. He's not going to miss those game checks. He's not going to miss the opportunity to play this season and prove how much he's worth. So it's a staring contest that the Jets are ultimately going to win. And I think they have a strong enough clubhouse and locker room. That's another thing about Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers, last year coming in, He's built so much rapport with his teammates. If you watch One Judge Drive, if you see the clips, he dances with these guys. He's got handshakes with these guys. These guys know him. And it took a year plus to build, really a year and a half to build that. Hassan Reddick isn't coming in there and messing up anything. And eventually he'll realize this Jets team is very talented and he should want to be a part of it.
And the UFC question I have for you. How come Conor McGregor was scheduled to fight and all of a sudden he said he pulls out for a broken toe and then he's not fighting for another year?
Alex, you're 13, right?
Uh-huh.
Conor McGregor is cooked, bro. He's done. And, like, he is one of the, you know, most entertaining, but he's done. So, like, the shenanigans and stuff that he pulled and even is still pulling, just don't ever expect to see a comeback. And I know these guys now are fighting until they're Mike Tyson's age. And, they're you know, between boxing and UFC, all of it is for clicks like social media, like we were just talking about. But I just wouldn't put any stock in Conor McGregor coming back and fighting anybody. He's cooked.
My guy's Alex Pereira.
Yeah. Yeah. Fanatics Fest. That just made me plug the Fanatics Fest. They will have a whole UFC operation. And next to the UFC operation, come by the WFAN booth. Dress up like Tiki. Dress up like Boomer Esiason. Maybe if you really want, you can dress up like Evan Roberts. I hope Evan Roberts is there tomorrow.
I have a genius idea for someone who's dressing up. I'm not going there. You get a Soto jersey, you dress up like Soto, and you run in your shirt through the shuffle, and you get something in your pants that keeps them moving.
Alex, you gotta go, bro. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls. Let's go to Keith in Howell, New Jersey.
Hey, good evening. How you doing, Keith?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm good. Thanks for calling.
From one Keith to another, I hope you're having a great day.
I am. Great name. Tell your mom and dad. Excellent choice.
Keith Moon. Yeah, there's so many great Keiths through history. But what I want to ask you is that what Aaron Judge is doing and what Soto is doing is absolutely, it's unprecedented. It really is. And it deserves all the credit it's getting. But, you know, George Steinbrenner in the 80s spent a lot of money. He wasted a lot of money. Got rid of a lot of great players. You're talking about all this offense that Judge and Soto have got coming to the team if the Yankees sign him up, or if they sign him long-term. Am I confident 100% they're going to sign him long-term? They'll be in it, but I'm not sold they're going to, you know, blow everybody's doors away. I'm not convinced on that. But my real point is that you're talking about all this offense, but last I checked, Major League Baseball playoff games, there are not 1-12-11, 10-9, 13-11. They're not football scores. What are you going to do as far as pitching? Do you really see the Yankees pitching staff right now with the way the Mets treated Cole in that series? Do you see them really going on a deep playoff run? Because Judge can't pitch, Soto can't pitch, and they can hit all nine positions. But what I want to go back to is, if you lock up Judge and Soto, what I want to go back to is Cone, Pettit, Wells, Urabu, and Messina. Cone, Pettit, Wells, Urabu, Clemens. I mean, pitching wins championships. Mm-hmm. And if you're not willing to invest that money, you have all the hits and all the home runs you want. But if you're losing games, you're losing them 14-11.
Thanks for the call, Keith. You queued me up perfectly. I haven't got to this point of it, right? You know, when I was talking about not being able to control the World Series, controlling what you can control in signing Juan Soto, and then you mentioned how games are won in the postseason. Home runs. Guys that hit home runs, there's a lot of postseason games where it's like, hey, got a hold of 1-2, two-run bomb. The great Sweeney Murdy told you that three-run home runs win ball games. Home runs, but also pitching. Because all it takes is one swing to put three runs on the board. Can you hold the opposing team to one or two runs? Do I believe in this Yankees rotation? No. How could I? Same way I'm telling Mets fans, look at what's in front of you. Look at the facts. Look at the outings. Stop trying to hope week. Stop trying to proclaim something that's not really right there. The Yankees rotation is not really right there. In theory, Gerrit Cole is a Cy Young winner, the reigning AL Cy Young winner, and you expect him as a veteran, the highest paid pitcher on the team, to be ready in October for game one. Who's your game two starter? Luis Gil, if you ask me, but Luis Gil is a rookie who's pitched more innings than he ever has. and he was shaky against the Chicago White Sox and gave us Ajita on Monday night. Carlos Rodon? Carlos Rodon is in a good stretch, but fool me, can't fool me again. Carlos Rodon is a guy that I wouldn't trust on the mound in the postseason. I've seen him blow up. I've seen him get blown up. And even in his last outing, he's barking at the ump in a doubleheader. I'm like, what are you thinking, bro? What are you doing? We can't afford to get you tossed and then have to go to the bullpen even earlier. And that's the other part of the Yankees pitching. I don't trust this bullpen at all. They've been terrible this last week. Does that make me feel confident about October? No. But what I know is this, it's not October yet. They do have a couple guys coming back, and guys will have bad outings. Do I trust Luke Weaver? Yeah. Did he have a bad outing? Yeah. Did I like what I saw out of Mark Leiter Jr. right away? Yeah. Did he get absolutely rocked over the weekend? Of course, it happens. Clay Holmes. I've been calling Clay Holmes Pray Holmes. Because when they put Clay on the mound, all I can do is pray. Please, please, baseball gods, please don't let it go. I know he's going to walk, guys. I know he's going to pitch the contact. Please just let them make the plays behind him. Pray for Clay. That's their closer. The general manager, captain of the team, endorsed him so much to say he's our guy. He's our closer. We have no choice but to ride with him. We have no choice but to ride with Gleyber Torres. We have no choice but to ride with DJ LeMahieu, Alex Verdugo. The team is the team. We're about to be on the second half of the dog days of August, man. But when I look at the tandem of Judge and Soto, it makes me think, what are they going to do? Walk them both? Well, here comes Austin Wells. Here comes Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's a proven postseason guy. Austin Wells deserves a ton of credit. Jose Trevino is coming back, but Jose Trevino hurting his quad scoring opened the door for Austin Wells to really become, and he didn't run away from the opportunity. And the opportunity didn't fold him up. He thrived. He didn't just survive. So they have guys in this lineup. I think the pitching will be enough. I think Matt Blake and some of the guys coming back, whether it's a Nick Birdie or an Ian Hamilton or a Scott Efros, they're going to play around. I trust Jake Cousins. They got Enyel De Los Santos out of here. Good. Michael Tonkin, Tim Hill, some of these journeyman guys, I'm not so sure about these guys. They help you get through the regular season, but I don't know if they're going to be weapons in October when you need a couple outs. 888-808-1019. But my faith is in those two ridiculous Hall of Famers, the Centurion and Juan Soto, who I believe is Superman when they do the handshake, and then they put the crown on their head for Judge, who is the King of New York. He's an X-Men, some type of mutant, must be part robot. I've never seen a guy built like that, that hits baseballs like that. I trust that, man. You have those two guys in the lineup. They're going to carry. They are locked in. They're two of the best hitters we've ever seen. And baseball is random. The postseason is random. I believe that they have a shot to get to the World Series just off of that. We don't know. And the AL is wide open. There's not one dominant team from the Orioles, the Guardians. People were proclaiming the Mariners and their rotation, and they just got swept. It is wide open. And if the Yankees are able to secure that one seed home field advantage, they have a great chance to be there in the Fall Classic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Yankees are in the Motor City taking on the Tigers. 6:40 tomorrow.
Adios, amigo!
Electrified by the G4xE lineup. The home of Yankees radio. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Still here. Not going anywhere. KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan till midnight, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Let's get right back to it. Obviously, we're talking about the Yankees, but there's so many people on hold that want to talk about the Mets, so we can go back to it. I opened up talking about it. I mean, today's game just is one of those crazy days in Flushing, from the choice of person to throw out first pitch to the longest game in the pitch clock era. 3 hours and 45 minutes, is that correct? I mean, it felt like all day. It was camp day. There were kids there that had to leave and get on the bus. They didn't get to see Mason Miller today. They got to see a grand slam, though. Ross is in Bergen County, back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man?
My bad, man. I owe you an apology for last night. Ross does not go to Bergen Catholic. Ross is with the Don Bosco Prep Ironman.
Yeah, where Tommy DeVito went. Yeah, no, you're good, man. I'm just saying I might be losing my street cred up in Ramsey at some place. You keep doing that. it's all good, man. Appreciate the time. I mean, listen, you know what? I got to say this, and I've been calling you these last couple of days. It's been one hell of a week for me. This is just the icing on the cake, man. I mean, I got to be living in the Matrix or something with some of this crap. You know, I see today on Twitter, my good buddy sends me this, and when he sends me something, like, we've got a couple group chats, and he sends me something individual. I know some BS is going on. Never in my wildest dreams or nothing did I think old Haley Welch would be the latest first pitch at Citi Field today. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And by the way, I didn't even know this from Twitter, which makes it real bad if it doesn't make Twitter. Tiki was talking about, I'm blanking on the guy's name, but a Super Bowl winning long snapper threw one of the other first pitches. You know, now there's multiple first pitches before every game. The Giants had one of their Super Bowl winning long snappers threw one either before or after Hawk Tua, and it got no publicity at all. I'd be livid, dude.
Yeah, I heard that too a little bit. I got to go find his name. I'm working on that right now. He deserves some respect because he did throw out a first pitch, clearly overshadowed by Hawk Tua, girl.
I didn't hear about it. And just the Hawk Tua, I mean, listen, I'm not going to come over here as like, you know, I see some people talk about offending everything. I'm probably pretty much not in that boat. It's just funny to me, dude. Like the approach they got. I mean, that grimace, listen, grimace felt like it was more for an older audience because I know they had the grimace shake, but they don't really market most of those mascots besides Ronald at this point. So that kind of felt like, I don't know if there was a target audience for that, but now you bring Hawk Tua in. They're going the full Twitter, Twitch, all this you know, mainstream media now. I mean, for Christ's sakes, who's next? They're going to bring in iShowSpeed or Kai Cenat or one of those? I mean, Jesus, did you see the giant screen, a multi-billion-dollar screen they got in center field? Did you see what they had on the screen? If this
Mario
is a real
Kart,
picture,
had,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Didn't they have Nintendo Switch up there the other day?
No, they had I don't know if you know this like brain rot or something, but on TikTok, they got like all these goofy sayings, and one of them Skibbity toilet, your guess is as good as mine, but that was part of one of the festivities during the game. It's just it's a freaking circus, man. And the on-the-field product's no better. The on-the-field, I mean, dude, he got, and speaking of tweets, this one had me laughing. I had somebody put out a tweet saying Jesse Winker was basically Daniel Vogelback on Ozempic talking about bats getting added at the deadline. You got to see him doing the waving after the leadoff single. And just overall, you know, day by day, it's a circus, man. You know, talk about typical on-the-field product. Just, you know, this is all getting overshadowed by the fact that they got whooped around by the Oakland A's, soon to be Sacramento. They're not even going to be the Sacramento A's. They're not going to have a team name. It's just a laughing stock, dude. It's going to be no different against Miami. I can't wait to see, like, Aiden Ross or somebody, though, throughout the first pitch. That'll be the biggest mystery of the three-game set.
Yeah, it's all for clicks, Ross. Thanks for the call. You're a young guy. You guys know these internet sensations. You guys know these viral superstars? That's what they're going for. They're trying to get your attention on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram. I just don't think it bodes well for what happens on the field. Yeah, I'm not able to find this guy's name. Something, I don't want to misspeak and say his name. I'm working on it. I did hear Tiki talking about it because Tiki said if he was asked to throw out the first pitch and this girl, he would have told him kick rocks. He would have told him not today. Like, no, I'm not sharing the honor with this chick. Like, pick me for another day. Pick me for another time. Ralph is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Keith, how are you? Good to hear you. Thanks for taking my call, my friend.
Yep.
Shout out to your son. I hope he's doing well.
He is.
Very good. Very good. You know, the honor. I'm so glad that you brought it back around to that. I'm a 66-year-old baseball fan. And, you know, the honor of the first pitch. We've had the leader of the free world throw out the first pitch from that. That's an honor that is bestowed upon few people. And to a Hawk Tua girl, I mean, I heard of her in passing. I don't know nothing about her. But come on, man. I was so glad to hear you bring back the honor of that event. It's an event in a baseball game.
It used to be America's something.
Game.
that you strive towards, right? Like I would hope
absolutely.
To be successful enough to one day throw out a first pitch anywhere.
Absolutely. Like you said, even at a Little League baseball game, whatever. It's an honor. You're being recognized. It's right up there with the Bleacher Creatures calling out your name the other night at that game. That's big stuff, dude. That's honor. Yeah. You know, you're being put in a light that lets people know that you've done something with your life, mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know what I mean? Hot two-week girl, it don't fit. But anyway, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you brought the honor back to the event. It's an event in the baseball game, and they're changing all of that up. The other thing I wanted to touch on real quick is I've been watching baseball. I've watched a lot of guys come step into that batter's box. I have never seen a phenomenon like Judge. He's the best baseball athlete I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. So nobody can debate that with you. You're right on. You're right on point with that, Mike.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. Yeah, you know, I just was laughing because you were calling her Hawk Tui. I feel like, isn't there like a character? I don't know what I'm thinking. Hong Kong Fooey? Hawk Tui? Isn't there a character with some kind of name like that? Probably before our time, Alex. I know Hong Kong Fooey is old. I used to watch Hong Kong Fooey on Cartoon Network at my grandma's house in like the middle of the night when Cartoon Network would play those old cartoons in the early 90s. There's got to be some character, though. Hawk Tui, something like that.
Maybe sounds like a Looney Tunes.
There's definitely a character out there. But, yeah, it is supposed to be an honor. It is supposed to be a privilege. We're supposed to be honoring, like, veterans and elected officials and people. And, you know, baseball is crazy now. Like, that's where we've gone to, you know, this girl, I guess she earned it. But, like, she didn't do anything to earn it. And that's what I was leaning into before. Like, I had to go to class. I had to sit in class for hours. I had to graduate. I had to work, grind, do all these things just to get to where I am. So maybe I'm a little jealous that now the internet just microwave makes these people celebrities for nothing. Like, we prop up people for no reason. They're hardworking people that deserve the honor, and they'll never get it. I leaned into the fact that right here at WFAN, like, how come Evan Roberts puts out a book called My Mets Bible and doesn't get invited to throw out a first pitch before this girl? Because, I don't know, they're going for the clicks. They're going for the internet. That's what baseball has changed to. As they're trying to change the rules, right? As they're trying to make baseball more appealing to the outsiders, the casual fans. Us actual baseball fans, we want to see who's throwing out the first pitch, like Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson comes to Yankee Stadium. I was there that night. I'm like, oh, it's lit. Jalen Brunson from the Knicks is throwing out. Like, Jalen Brunson just got named captain, and he gets the honor bestowed upon him to come to Yankee Stadium and throw out first pitch and stand there next to Aaron Boone with a Volpe 11 jersey on, and the anthem is played. He's got his hand on his shoulder. I thought that was cool. The Yankees aren't going to make a mockery of that. It's a tradition. It's an honor. And, you know, it's a tradition to be named captain. Man, we got one. With Aaron Judge being the captain, Aaron Judge, you just heard Ralph say it. No one can debate. Like, you can make some cases, but it's subjective. With my own two eyes, that's the best guy I've watched. That's the best guy I've seen. And maybe I have a way larger sample size, but, like, for what my money's worth, Aaron Judge is the best baseball player. And there's a full package around this guy, right? He's not just a power hitter. He'll slap a single through. He'll work his walks. He'll rip a double. Look at his average. Look at his on-base percentage. His RBIs this year. His home runs, obviously, but then the leader that he is, the way he talks to the media, how he gives back. You never hear a bad word about him. You never hear anything about him off the field. The way he carries himself is crazy. To be that good, like, this guy is out of this world. Let's go to Ridgewood. Joe, you're on the fan. You got it.
Hey, Keith, what's up? Great show, as always. I missed the opening, but we both became dads at the same time. So hopefully your son's doing great. How's your son doing?
He's good. He's 16 months. He's crazy. He eats everything. He fights everything. Hopefully, you had a daughter, right?
I had a son. Last time you said that, my kid's 17 months.
Okay. So, I've talked to a few people who've had kids around the same time.
I understand, man. I don't understand. I understand that you're not going to remember. My opinion is the best baseball player I've ever seen growing up, and I'm 38 years old. I think it's Barry Bonds. And I understand the whole steroid era, but, like, I wanted your opinion. I think the biggest caveat, the biggest stat in baseball is the 40-40 club. When Barry Bonds did the 40-40 club, I don't believe he was on steroids. I could be wrong, but I don't believe he was on steroids. And that's a great stat to have. And Aaron Judge, as great as he is, he's a great baseball player.
Yeah.
He's never come close to the 40-40 club. So in my opinion, I think it's Barry Bonds, you know, and it's hard to say who's better. It's a judgment thing. But I wanted your opinion on that. But, you know, Judge has never come to a 30-30 club. And, you know, obviously he's had his issue in the playoffs as far as stats. But I think the best baseball player I've ever seen is Barry Bonds. And that's my rebuttal to you. I wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah, I'll take it from here. Thanks for the call, Joe. I hope your son is doing good. Listen, there's different eras. Like now you're hearing the case after the Olympics that, no, LeBron James is the GOAT in basketball. And people are going to argue MJ, MJ, MJ. And maybe we have recency bias from what we've seen over the last 10 years with Judge, not even 10 years, over the last 20 years with LeBron, where we're saying no, no, no. And the thing is, you can never really compare eras. It's different. Like, I think Judge is great because he's doing it in this internet social media coverage era. Were they cutting in as Barry Bonds was chasing the home run record? Were they cutting in from the Penn State game so the whole country could watch his at bat and he work a walk or get intentionally walked? No, there's so much pressure on Judge to do it with the New York Yankees in New York. There's so much pressure on Judge, and he answers the bell every time. Barry Bonds, many people label him as a cheater. And yeah, he was a good player before that. Bobby Bonds' kid, you know, you saw him coming. But like I said, for like my intents and purposes, me watching baseball in the late 90s, early 2000s, really locking into baseball once I got out of college and I wasn't playing football and I wasn't a student and I could actually like watch every game, which really was like 2009 to 10 to where we are now. I was too young to see Bonds. I was asleep when Bonds was playing. I get it. When you look at the numbers of intentional walks and home runs and everything else, you actually can't stack up Judge to it. But now they're starting to do some different things. Like, now, like, I saw a stat on Yes Network. They were comparing Wade Boggs' average to what Judge is hitting because we're in a different era. We're in an era now where, like, they are intentionally walking you, where they have analytics, more analytics than ever, where they have a guy coming out of the bullpen specifically for you. This is a guy that we don't think you're going to be able to hit. It's harder than ever to hit major league pitching. Some people would argue that Bonds was pitching against or was hitting against bums. I don't think that's true, but like when we compare eras, that's what happens. It's just different now. What we're seeing in modern day time with Aaron Judge, like the guy's gotten better from his MVP season. He's ridiculous. And so what I'm saying is for what I've seen a much larger sample size of Aaron Judge live. This is my era. This is my time. There are some of you that will argue someone else. Cool. That is your opinion. It's subjective. 888-808-1019. Respect to Barry Bonds. He should be in the Hall of Fame, but he cheated. He was roided up. He was enhanced. So there's some people that's just their argument against. Judge is a clean player. He's just a monster. He's 6'7", 6'8", 270, whatever he is. Like, they threw the water on him last night. And, like, you know, obviously, pause. But they threw the water on him last night. And you saw his shirt and, like, his back. And I'm like, look at the muscles on this guy. Look at how, and he's not a bodybuilder. He's just naturally like that. He's just a monster of a human being. The picture of him with Caitlin Clark. Oh, like Judge is just I've never been, like, next to Judge. I've met Soto and some of the other players. When I got to go on the field and do Susan Starr of the game, I didn't even see Judge. I've never stood next to Judge. The one time I got to meet Judge or be around Judge was early in his career. He came to the Oakley store in the middle of Manhattan. He was sitting down the whole time. He was taller than people that were standing up while he was sitting on a stool. But yeah, he's just different, bro. And I'm just giving him his flowers and his credit because I know early in the season I was critical of him. I thought he was hurt. And early in the season, I was thinking about now. And I was saying, hey, if he's hurt, shut him down. And how could you not think he potentially could have been hurt when he ran into a wall last year and they told you, Ed, they're going to have to monitor the toe. Nobody mentions his toe anymore. They pulled him out of spring training. They said he was spring beat up. So when he was slumping early in the year, it was just a slump. He's human. We don't think he's human, but all baseball players are going to slump. And after that, after he came back from the game on May 4th, where he got his first career ejection. I went to the game May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. He took Tarek Skubal deep in the rain, who we'll face on Sunday. I'm like, Judge is on one. Judge is on one. And he's been on a tear since. The numbers are video game. Like, they're ridiculous. He's the best. And that's okay. Like, if you don't agree. But in this era of baseball, in this time, he's the best. And when you compare him to other Yankees, like, I think I heard Sal say, like, he's cracking that Yankees Mount Rushmore. But the last thing of it, the last piece of it, he's got to win. I replied to the Talking Yanks tweet last night. They're like, you know, we're blessed to see this guy every day. Or like, we can't take for granted that we see this guy every day. I'm like, the Yankees can't take for granted that this guy's in his prime. And he hasn't been to a World Series. And another trade deadline passed where you look at what they got at the trade deadline. They don't have anything that can help the team right now, really. They didn't stack the deck, as I say. So Judge is in his prime and you're chilling. If I had the power, my first and only priority would be, yo, we got to have the best pitching, hitting all around this guy. We got to get this guy to the Fall Classic. Because I don't want to be in that stadium with my son when my son is a freshman in high school and we go to Monument Park and we see 99 and Judge comes back with his wife and his mom and his dad and maybe he has some kids then and we're honoring him and we're looking up at the big board and my son says, how many home runs did he hit in the World Series, Dad? Well, none, son. All these highlights are from regular season games and ALDS, some ALCSs. Yankees never got him to the World Series.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.